Good morning. Welcome to the show. This is Kim Harris. You're on Yarra Valley FM 99.1 and this program is called Stories of Change. Welcome to the show. It's lovely to have you this morning. I am going to be talking about three reasons to change this morning. As you know, Stories of Change is all about inspiring change. And as we just heard in the news, we really need a holistic approach to change because a lot is riding on it. We do have increases in emotional distress out there in the community. So by listening along, I'm hoping to, reveal some of the strategies, some of the information, and definitely some of the stories to really inspire you to get out and get involved in a change process of your own. So I'm looking forward to unpacking that, but I'm going to play a song first up from Dido, which is called Thank You. And the reason I'm playing this song is because a lot of you came out and attended our opening celebration. As all of our frequent listeners will know, we are moving the radio station to Healesville and we're in the process of setting up a whole lot of, we're just upgrading everything, which is absolutely fantastic because we want it to last, for the next 20 years or so, just like this place here in Wurrialik. It's served us so well for the last 20 years. So I wanted just to play a song to say thank you so much for coming out and being a part of the celebration. Thank you so much for your attendance, your enthusiasm. I had a lot of fun doing a little bit of an exercise with you around togetherness and promoting togetherness, which is also what what my show is all about. We really need to start coming together lots more and that's kind of repairing some of those breakdowns in our little social circles is a really, really key part of the change process. So anyway, lots to unpack, but I'm going to play this song to dedicate to you just to say thanks. Thanks for coming out. Thanks for all of your involvement. There were so many people there that have been instrumental in this move that we are making. So this one's for you guys. Thank you. Welcome back. It's 20 minutes past 8 and if you're getting ready for work, you're hopefully on your way. But this morning we're going to be talking about three reasons to change, and there's really three pretty basic reasons to change, isn't there? Really just number one, we want increases in our health and well-being. So sometimes we need to make some changes that result in having increased vitality. Sometimes we also have another reason to change, which is we want to improve our productivity and perhaps increase our income. I think we could all use a little bit of extra money and, learning about how to make some more money or sort of upskilling so that you can add some more income definitely is a great change to make. And the third one, which I think is really, really significant in this day and age, is a change around our meaning and fulfillment in life. And I believe personally that that comes through the culmination of these three things. When we've got increased vitality, when we really love our work and we're getting paid what we're worth and we're getting enough income to live that sort of comfortable kind of life, I think. And then the third thing is the relationship that really brings that level of meaning and fulfillment to that next level. So those are three pretty good reasons, I think, to go through a change process, a change around our health and well-being, a change around our work and increasing our income, and a change around our meaning and fulfillment, which I believe comes really, really out of our relationships to all of those other things and our relationships to other people. So, I love to talk about relationships. I do a lot of coaching with people around their relationships, their state of relationships, the way that relationships are working for or against them. And it's not necessarily what you think. It's not necessarily an intimate relationship or a partnership. It's not necessarily even relationships with your friends or your family or your work or anything like this. It's sometimes even these underneath kinds of relationships. Like, what is the relationship you have with yourself? What is the relationship you have with health and well-being? Are you taking good care of yourself? Are you nurturing yourself? and just taking care of yourself in those really basic ways, like eating well, sleeping well, exercising regularly, all these little fundamental relationships that we can have. If we've got a kind of a weird relationship with exercise or a weird relationship with food, that can really impact significantly our health and well-being. And then when it comes to money, you know, what is your relationship with money? You know, do you have an intimate knowledge of money in your bank account? Some people prefer not to look at it and kind of keep their head in the sand. And that's kind of what this change process is all about. Me talking about stories of change is all about, because there is a process for change. And the first stage of change is actually called pre-contemplation. And that pretty much is that part of the process where your head is in the sand, where you're not really aware that a change needs to take place necessarily. It's just kind of outside of your awareness. So you might get a little bit of a hint every now and then, oh, like I really should maybe take, you know, better care of my finances or better care of my health, or I should go and spend a bit of time with that person. I know they need me right now. Whatever it is, I think that's sort of, it niggles in the back of your mind. That's the first stage of change. It's a very, very important stage and one that shouldn't be rushed through. But I'm going to spend the rest of this episode today just talking about what I'm talking about with regard to the change process, because it's a bit like a recipe. If you have a recipe and you have the ingredients and you have the equipment and you read through the recipe, you see all the steps involved in putting together a meal. I was thinking this morning of a really yummy meal I saw on the internet the other day, which would be beautiful at this time of morning, which was like an avocado and prosciutto and poached egg kind of, like on sourdough. It looked absolutely delicious. Anyway, but if you've got the recipe for that kind of breakfast, let's say, if you make it faithfully, if you buy those ingredients, if you have the equipment like a nice fry pan or whatever, and you follow those steps diligently, you'll have a delicious meal at the end of it. And the change process is very similar. It's just like a recipe. So I'm going to be spending some time unpacking just what are those stages of change to give you some clarity on where you might be within that framework. Because we can have all types of changes happening all at once, interestingly. So we don't just have to, you know, look after our health and well-being. Sometimes we do need to attend to our income and finances and our work, and sometimes we do need to take care of our relationships. So we can kind of have and be juggling these sorts of three things all at the same time. So we might be in a particular phase in the change process with regard to our relationships, for instance, and we could be in a completely different phase for our income. So it's a really good thing to know this framework. So I'm going to be talking about that after a couple more songs. So I'm going to play Simply Red now, if you don't know me by now. So enjoy this one. Welcome back. It's 8:30 and this is Stories of Change with Kim Harris. I've been talking about three reasons to change, really good reasons to change: increased health and well-being, increases in your income, and increased meaning and fulfillment in your relationships. I can't think of better reasons to change personally, and I'm a bit tired actually of listening to you hear on the news, you know, people are having troubles with health and well-being. They're having troubles with mental health. They're having troubles in their relationships. And we're all feeling the impact of the isolation effects of the last couple of years. I'm tired of people just talking about it. I actually want to do something about it. And that's what this show is all about. It's time to stop talking about it and do something about it. And the way that we do that is to increase our conscious awareness of the change process. Because if you are feeling a little bit down, if you're feeling a little bit anxious, if you're feeling a little bit under pressure because you've got more week than not enough money at the end of the week, or if you're just feeling fatigued, tired, these are significant changes to make, and we need to make them holistically, and we need to make them with support. So how we go about the change process is very important. The more that we know about it, the better off we are. So let's get into it. Let's stop talking about it and let's do it. So what are the six stages of change? It's almost like a recipe, like I was talking about earlier. If you follow this recipe, you will set yourself up for a very powerful and significant shift in your identity, which is the deepest level of change that we want to actually strive for. It's a bit like going from, if any of you out there are smokers and you have quit quit successfully and now you just don't even feel like a cigarette, and you, and if someone offered you a cigarette, you'd go, no, I don't smoke, I'm not a smoker. When you say a statement like that, I am a non-smoker, it's very, very powerful. It's an indication that you've made a real shift in your identity, because an I am statement is an identity statement. You're declaring something about yourself. So we want to get there, and that is the last phase, actually, of the six stages. When we reach that point, when we've got that significant identity shift, that's when we're at the end of the process. But there are six stages altogether, and I'll quickly go over them like a bit of an overview and then go into them a little bit deeper so that you can understand each of the phases. The first phase, as I touched on a few times, is called pre-contemplation. The second phase is contemplation. The third phase is preparation. The fourth phase is action. The fifth stage is implementation. And then the last phase is called termination, or I prefer to use the word integration. And that's when the change really settles in and you just become that way from now on. And it's not even anything you have to think about. Anyway, so let's go into these a little bit deeper. So basically, what's really good to know about in the world of human behavior, and this is what I've studied, you know, human behavioral science. So this is what this is all based in, a very scientific kind of formula or recipe. We have what's known as a TOTE, which is a T-O-T-E. It's an acronym. And it's basically, they use it in computing. They use it in lots of different ways, this type of, to explain a strategy that someone goes on. And T stands for, first we want to test. So we want to test the waters and kind of go, well, I think maybe, you know, I get this trigger. Sorry, T is for trigger, not test. Trigger is the first one, trigger. So we trigger a strategy that we're going to run. So a really simple way of thinking about it is like, maybe you run your tongue over your teeth and you realize, ooh, I need to brush my teeth. So you trigger a process of brushing your teeth. Very similarly, the change process is like that. It's just a process that we're going on that we're going to trigger with under certain types of conditions. And then we operate the process, whatever the process is. In this case, this example I'm using around brushing your teeth, you'll operate the process. You'll open the drawer, get your toothbrush out, put the toothpaste on it, brush your teeth. Then we'll retest to see are our teeth clean, and we'll have different ways of doing that depending on the person. And then if we're satisfied that our teeth are clean, we exit the strategy. And that's what T-O-T-E stands for. Test, trigger, operate, test again, exit. Yeah, so this is basically what we are doing all of the time. And I think this is why change can be quite difficult to pinpoint sometimes, because it's all happening all at once. Like even today, I was thinking about this morning on this show, I was listening to my voice because I edit my voice after each show and recognizing how much improvement I need to make there. And I could hear in my own voice that I have this breath that I take in. I sort of go, and it has been pointed out to me before, but it never really stuck out to me like it is now when I'm listening to myself. I thought to myself, okay, this is a change. It's an example of a change I need to make in the way that I'm presenting to you, the way that I'm speaking to you. I really like to iron out that kind of breathlessness that I have. And yeah, anyway, it's just an example of something I would like to change. At the same time, I'm changing lots of things in my life. So we are going on and through this change process all of the time, quite organically. I just happen to know more consciously what those steps are. So that's why I'm bringing it to you, because I found it really, really helpful in my life. So those are the six stages of change. And I'm going to go into those in a little bit deeper so that you understand them, so you can see perhaps where you are in the process. But before I do that, I'm going to play a song that I really like. It's called The Middle, and it's by Jimmy Eat World. And what I like about this song is it really is a song about, don't judge yourself too harshly and don't give up too soon, because we're all in the middle of our story. So enjoy this one. Welcome back. It's 8:47 and I've been talking about the six stages of change this morning to give you a bit of clarity on where you might be with regard to some changes that you might be making in life. And the reason that this is so helpful is because when you can see where you're at, it's a lot easier to know what your next step is. It's a really good way of clarifying, okay, well, this is where I'm at, and so this is what I need to do in order to help myself through this change process. So the six stages, again, were pre-contemplation, contemplation, preparation, action, implementation, and integration. So let's talk about each of those in a little bit more detail so you can understand them. The first one, pre-contemplation, is where the change that you might be considering is maybe just outside of your awareness. Now, a couple of ways you can start to become aware is an example of listening to my show and listening to some examples of the different changes that people do embark upon. So you might hear me talking about health and well-being, for example, and you might go, that does raise my awareness of a few things that I need to attend to with regard to my health. So I'm starting to promote awareness around types of changes that you can make. And I've got some great interviews actually coming up on some really unique and interesting changes that people do make in their life. An example is a lady that I'd like to interview who actually became a carnivore, believe it or not. So in a world of where there's a lot of veganism, very, very interesting story there. So that's an example of a quite a drastic change that she went on. So yeah, sometimes they're a bit quirky. Sometimes they're a bit out there, changes that we go on. But all of them are inspirational in some way, shape or form, because it's all about just taking responsibility for something in our life that we really want to improve. And yeah, this is a way of doing that very consciously and really in a really self-supporting way so that you actually do achieve what it is that you set out to do. So pre-contemplation is where the awareness is, it's kind of ill-formed. And what can happen at this phase too is sometimes it's somebody else that lets you know, hey, look, I'm just noticing you've put on a few pounds, or you know, or I've just noticed that you haven't been your normal chirpy self. So sometimes our awareness comes from other people in our life feeding back to us, you know, something that they've noticed or observed. And there's sometimes it can kind of irritate us too. Like we can kind of be, well, like I'm fine, because we've kind of, that change has been out of our awareness and we're just starting to become aware of it. So it's a very important phase to go through. And yeah, that's pre-contemplation. So in that phase, you might be knowing that you've got to make a change, but kind of avoiding it in some way, shape or form, or putting your head in the sand, just trying to pretend like it doesn't exist and that it might go away all by itself or fix itself all by itself. So that's kind of the way that we might be feeling about the change when we're in this stage of the process. So that's the first one, pre-contemplation. The second one, contemplation, is when we go, okay, all right, yeah, I hear you. You know, I'm aware that I need to make this change. So now you're in this phase where you're going to contemplate, well, what would that change actually bring about in my life? Is it something that I really do want to commit to and decide upon? So that's kind of the what we might be thinking and feeling when we're in that phase. It's sort of like, you know that you need to make a change, but you need to kind of hash out the details with yourself of what is actually the commitment that you are willing, you know, to fully commit to. So that's the second phase. The third phase is preparation. So this is when you've decided, yep, I am going to make this change. I've decided I'm going to make this change and I'm 100% committed. Now I need to do some preparation to actually help me to integrate the change. Because one of the kind of, I guess, the myths out there, you know, when people say, oh, you know, I want to get fit. And then they jump in and they go and get a gym membership and they go for 2 weeks and then they forget all about it. That's an example of when a person hasn't done the preparation phase properly, or either of these other phases either. It's when you haven't done pre-contemplation properly, when you haven't done contemplation properly, when you haven't done preparation properly, you really can't jump into, you know, taking action successfully. So we really want to make sure that we nail those three phases first. So preparation is where you're working out kind of your routines and you're working out, well, here I am now. Like if you're a person that hasn't been doing any exercise, for example, it's really kind of not self-serving to then expect to just go to the gym every single day and, you know, that you're just going to white knuckle it and go through it with sheer willpower alone. It's really not setting yourself up for the best experience. So preparation would be, okay, well, all right, I need to integrate an exercise habit. And it gym might not be the best one for you. So in preparation, we start to experiment and we start to figure out, oh, how, you know I need to move my body a bit more, but how do I like to do that? Do I like to do that through interpretive dance, or do I like to do it through gym? Or do I like to walk in the mountains? Depending on where you live in the valley, there's some gorgeous places to walk. So we want to find your way, and that's what you do in the preparation phase. It's where you actually take yourself seriously and your change seriously and start to put things in place to actually, you know, work out, okay, well, how am I going to prepare to start taking this action? So that's the third phase. Then we jump into action, and action, pretty self-explanatory. That's where we've got the plan and now we're following it and we're onto it. And a lot of people outside of us will be waiting for this phase. So if we say, oh, we're going to exercise and then we're not doing anything, they might not think that you're really serious because they're not seeing you exercise, right? So this is how some of these relationship dynamics actually don't help us to integrate a change process, because people are looking for the action because they can't judge any of the other stuff. The pre-contemplation, the contemplation and the preparation sometimes is all quite internal and in your own mind. So really, really good idea, with regardless of the phase that you're in, is to talk to the people that you love about the process that you're on and where you're at, and just sort of say, look, I'm just contemplating this change right now, or I'm just preparing for this change. I'm really thinking about what it is I really want and who I am and what's really going to be something I can commit to, you know, right now before I jump into taking action. And then when you're taking the action, that's when you ask your friends and family and loved ones to come on board and help you with perhaps rewarding you with, you know, just little milestones that you might reach, or just a celebration when you achieve something that was really hard for you to do. Yeah, so that's the action phase. That's when we're actually getting on with the plan itself. Then we move into implementation. Now, maintenance is the next one, not implementation. It's called maintenance. Maintenance is where then we want to maintain the consistency in those efforts that we're making in our action phase. And what can happen in maintenance is we can be taking action and we can sometimes stop taking action because we don't realise that perhaps, you know, we can come a little bit complacent. So sometimes our change, any exercise habit or any habit that you need to maintain for a period of time to actually integrate it successfully. So we can fall out of action, and that's why sometimes we need to practice this maintenance. Okay, well, it's not a problem if you miss one workout, for example, but if you don't jump on that quickly and then you know, one day leads to 2 days where you miss out, 3 days and so on, you can really end up falling off the wagon. That was Tim McGraw and Faith Hill with The Rest of Our Life. What a beautiful song. It is just on 9 o'clock, so we're going to have the news in a second. But just before I went on the break there, we were talking about the maintenance phase of the change recipe, so to speak. And maintenance is where you're just consistently taking the action and doing what you need to do to stay in the action phase. And when you do that for long enough, it drops into your central nervous system, actually. It drops into other systems in your biology, like your actual cerebral infrastructure in your brain. If you consistently maintain this behavior, it sets up new tracks in your neurology, in your neurochemistry, in your neurobiology, and then your the way that you think changes significantly. So, and that has this wonderful flow-on effect to your central nervous system. So that's why maintenance is so important. It's where we actually build the density in our brain system to maintain the change that we've been embarking upon and trying to integrate. So that's maintenance. And then the final phase is, of course, integration. And that's where, well, I call it integration. Some other people call it termination, but I think that sounds a bit Terminator-ish. I prefer the phrase integration. And integration is actually where the change, it becomes complete. It actually drops out of your conscious awareness and into your unconscious systems. The good thing about this, and the good thing that
that this is a great feature of the human body, is that we have the capacity to change our things that we do predominantly into an unconscious program that then just runs in the background. And the benefits to us when we do this, when we actually achieve turning a habit into something that becomes, you know, unconscious, and where we are unconsciously competent in it, it actually takes a lot less energy for our bodies to maintain it. We do it automatically without thinking. It becomes automatized or systematized, whichever word you would prefer to use, and we don't have to think about it anymore. Frees up a lot of energy, and that is one of the prime directives of the human brain, is to conserve as much energy as it possibly can, freeing it up for newer things, new systems that we need to learn and develop and grow, because we are, whether we like it or not, always in a state of change. We're always in a state of flux. The person you were a minute ago is not the same person that you are right now, and won't be in the next minute. It's absolutely incredible. We are constantly growing and thinking and evolving and adding to our neural load and adding to these systems. So that's the last and final phase, integration. And as I said earlier, it's about forming an identity around the change. So it's a very powerful, deep level of change when we change our identity or the way that we see ourselves. And once we get to that stage and we say, I am a runner, or I am a weightlifter, or I am a dancer, or I am a non-smoker, when we start to identify as these things, or even on a financial I guess level also, I am wealthy, or I am a millionaire, or I am a billionaire, or I am a trillionaire, whatever the case may be, when we make those sorts of identity statements, that's when we've really created a very, very deep level of change. So that's it. That's a wrap for me today. That is the six stages of change, a quick overview of all the stages, and the types of ways that we think, and the types of things that, how we act, and what actually occurs for us when we are in each of those phases. So I hope you've enjoyed listening to that framework, and I hope you enjoy reflecting on your life and changes that you want to make, and think about them like, yeah, you might be like me in pre-contemplation around exercise, but you might be full on in action phase when it comes to another area of your life, like perhaps a relationship. You might be actively dating, or going on date nights, or getting married, or all sorts of wonderful things. So we can be in different phases of the change process, depending on what types of changes we've got on the boil, and we'll usually have a few going on at once, which is where we're very capable of doing, which is wonderful. So coming up soon, and in the next couple of episodes, we're going to be talking about the processes that facilitate you from moving from one stage to the next. So to go from pre-contemplation into contemplation, there is some steps involved that make it a lot easier for you to transition from one stage to the next. So I'm going to be talking about those nine processes of change that can really support you in leveling up your life and going through a successful change integration. So that's it from me today. As I've said before, you can follow up on any shows that you might have missed out on, any previous episodes, on the website yarravalley.org.au, and you'll find there's a link there to previous podcasts of all the episodes of the show. So go back there and re-listen to things if I've spoken too quickly, or you just want to take it in a few more times, because it bears repeating. It's a great thing to learn, as I've said, this framework for change. Also, feel free to connect with me on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram. Happy to answer any questions that you've got. Would love to hear some song dedications or requests. I'm happy to play them for you on the radio, on the show. We do the show live every Thursday at 8 a.m. So please join us then. That's it for today. So bye for now.